Oh, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. Thanks for braving the ice. Glad you're here today. We've already heard, you know, today is many things. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. Jeff is not a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs. We've learned that much. But it's Super Bowl 59. And I don't know, does anybody have a particular feeling? Who here is rooting for the Chiefs? Raise your hand. Okay, a few brave souls. How about the Philadelphia Eagles? How about, nah, don't really care. I'm in it for the commercials. All right, there you go, yeah. Today is also the 8th of February, and I found out as I was Googling stuff that the 8th of February is celebrated as Propose Day. This is a day where couples will get engaged because it leads up to Valentine's Day. I'm not trying to give a hint to anybody, definitely not anybody Sophia happens to be dating, but today is Propose Day. But most importantly, today is a day that the Lord has made, and so it's good for us to be together. You know, some of you know that in October, I had the opportunity to hike across the Grand Canyon, and Bud left because apparently I talked a lot about it at staff meeting. But no, he's getting ready for sub sales. So after service, we're going to be selling, the youth will be selling subs and pepperoni rolls. And so I'll just throw that kind of plug in. It helps our youth go to camp. But that's where Bud's at. He's getting those things ready. But the hike across the Grand Canyon was pretty incredible. It's a 25-mile hike that descends over a mile. Lots of steep inclines and declines, temperature swings like you've never experienced before, and stunning views. Unfortunately, you know, there's a sign that when you prepare to go into the canyon, there's a sign that says, going down is optional, coming up is mandatory. And whatever comes down must come up. And so it's you do have to hike back up. It's reported that over 6 million people visit the Grand Canyon every year, but less than 1% of the people ever make it to the bottom of the canyon. And so I'm going to be sharing a couple pictures spattered around, and if you'd like to see more, I'm happy to share with you. Honestly, the pictures don't do it justice. But after I got out of the canyon, I knew I would be writing a sermon at some point just talking about my experience. I mean, how could I not? This is such a unique creation of our God, and to be able to do that was a great adventure. I want to give you some backdrop to where I'm going to be going in later on. In John chapter 5, Jesus heals a lame man on the Sabbath day. And you'd think, oh, what a wonderful day to heal somebody on the Sabbath. Apparently that was a big no-no, right? You couldn't even heal. That's how many layers the Pharisees had placed over God that you couldn't even heal on the Sabbath. And when Jesus was confronted about this, he makes this proclamation that he is the Son of God, and which really whipped everybody else into a fervor. And I think Jesus needed some breathing room. And so John chapter 6 begins by recording Jesus crossing the Sea of Galilee. But having seen the power of Jesus, the crowds followed him. And so Jesus does this thing, and he begins talking to the people. They realize, oh, there's no food to be had. And so he calls up a young boy and borrows his lunch. And out of this young boy's lunchbox, over 5,000 people are fed. And after the meal, Jesus tells his disciples to gather up all the leftovers, and they fill up 12 basketfuls of bread. Next day, Jesus again is surrounded by the crowds. And so remember, this is what just happened. Over 5,000 men plus women and children. So a lot of people. And Jesus makes this proclamation in John 6. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And oddly enough, at this point, the people begin to grumble. The people begin to grumble because they were looking for real bread. They kind of like this deal that they had going on with Jesus thus far. Like, they show up and Jesus feeds them. And the sad part of it is that they really weren't interested in finding Jesus. They were simply interested in what they could get from Jesus. And it's at this point that people begin to leave him. In one of the more ironically numbered scriptures, John 6:66, it says this: "At this point, many of his followers turned away and deserted him." It's a devastating scripture, isn't it? All because Jesus wouldn't do his dog and pony show for them. He wouldn't do what they wanted. They wanted the gifts. They had the giver of the gifts right there, and they would rather have the gift. And because Jesus wouldn't do what they wanted, they began to leave. And at this point, Jesus turns to his disciples, the 12, and he asks them, "Are you also going to leave?" Good old Peter answers back, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's my first lesson from the Grand Canyon. It matters who you are following. It really matters who you are following. You know, I loved my time in the canyon, really, because every time you looked, it was just breathtaking view. You'd stop, you'd turn around, breathtaking view. It was incredible. I loved every single mile, except for about the last 4.5 miles. Because at this point, right, you have hiked 20 miles, and now you're beginning that ascent. And it is simply up, 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 up. It is unrelenting. There is like no place to catch your breath. I mean, there were times in my hike when I walked by myself. There were times I was with a group. But I don't think I would have made it out of those last 4.5 miles if it wasn't for the help of one of the guides who was with us, Sarah Kolb. She was just incredible. And as we started up those last miles, this is called the devil's corkscrew. They don't name anything good if it's bad, right? I mean, they don't call it, "Oh, this is God's walk through the park." No, this is the devil's corkscrew. You know it's not fun. As we started up those last miles, Sarah said this. Said, "Watch my feet. I will take you up the path, the easiest way, and I will set a good pace for us to follow." And I did exactly that. Right, we're walking up those last 4.5 miles. My eyes were just glued to Sarah's feet. Boy, where she walked, I walked. Where she stepped, I stepped. If she wiggled around, I wiggled around. I knew the importance of who I was following. Peter knew this. Peter saw the power of Jesus. His journey with Jesus began when he and his brothers were out fishing and Jesus comes by. Jesus asks Peter, "Hey, let's go fishing." And Peter reluctantly follows the commands of Jesus. Scripture records what he said to Simon. In Luke chapter 5, it says this: "Now go out where it's deeper," Jesus said, "and let your nets down to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night, didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full and so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon the other boats were filled with fish, and on the verge of sinking. And Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Matters who you follow. And Jesus invites us to follow him. And following Jesus means committing ourselves to his teachings, to his example, and to his mission. It involves faith in him, that believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior, and that we trust in him for our salvation. It means obedience to his teachings. It means we don't just hear, but we listen. We live according to the commands of God, such as loving God and loving others. When we follow Jesus, it means repentance and transformation. It means that we turn away from our sins and we allow Jesus to change our heart and our life. It means serving others, living selflessly, helping those in need, being a light in this dark world. It means spreading the gospel, sharing the good news, sharing the message of Jesus, and being a part of that making disciples. It means having a relationship with him. And Jesus isn't just something we talk about on Sunday. Jesus wants to be involved in your Mondays and your Tuesdays and your Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays. He really wants to be part of all day Sunday, not just in the morning. Talk with him, pray, read his word, seek his guidance. Ultimately, if we are going to step where Jesus stepped and follow his lead, it means we need to surrender to him and strive to reflect the love and the truth and his grace in every aspect of our life. Because it matters who you are following. Second lesson that I learned in the canyon is that it matters who you walk with. It matters who you walk with. And so that's a group of people that I walked the canyon with. You know, as I said before, when I was walking through the Grand Canyon, there were times when I walked alone. There were times when I was walking with others. Getting lost is really kind of difficult in the Grand Canyon. It's like, you know, it's North Kaibab to Bright Angel Trail. There are, however, two places where you can kind of get off. And like I said, there was only one time where I got a little confused. But we had started our hike rather early. They were forecasting for high temperatures that day in the park. And so rather than starting at 5 or 6, we started at 3 o'clock in the morning. Temperatures at the North Rim were about 40 degrees. Eventually, as we hit the bottom, got to Phantom Ranch, it was about 112, 115 degrees. It gets pretty hot, and the heat is a danger. And we started as one big group, and this is somebody actually walking behind me caught this picture. I think it's really neat. And I found myself by myself, because we started as this big group, and you know, everybody's hustling, and you know, I'm just enjoying the journey. Maybe I was a little bit slower. I call it, I was just simply enjoying the journey. But I found myself by myself, and I came to one of those spots. And we were told, it's like, you just follow the trail. Okay, well, the trail had a divergence. What do I do? And so I simply decided, I'm going to sit here and wait. It was pitch black. It was, I had the light of my headlamp, and that was about it. But I knew who I was walking with, and I knew somebody eventually was going to come along and point me in the right direction. because I was never truly alone. After about 14 miles, we hit Phantom Ranch, and that's the kind of the it's a historic ranch, one of the hardest hotels, one of the hardest places in the world to stay. Reservations are very difficult to come by. Had our lunch break, and we joked and ate together. Eric Guy and I wound up walking, and we walked across a section where we crossed the Colorado River. We walked some more, and we came to the spot where it actually was possible for us to wade into the Colorado River, a little protected eddy, and so it was freezing. The water's only about 40 degrees, but it felt so good on my legs. And soon others, we would see some of our other team, we waved them down, and we all kind of waded into the Colorado River. It was a wonderful stop. And then began this next uphill section. I was with a group. And first there were six of us walking up the unrelenting climb. And but then two had to drop off because they were a little bit slower. And Sarah led us, and we got out. I mean, there's just no other way to describe that last section other than to say it is hard and it is no fun. We walked together. We rested as a group. No one was going to be left behind. Even if somebody was going to go a little bit slower, we would encourage. And, you know, somebody said we want to stop, and, you know, we'd crack jokes, and we're getting out of here together. You know, those four people got me out. They were an important part of my journey. I want to remind us what Peter said when he replied to Jesus. He said, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of life. You have the words that give eternal life. We believe, and we know that you are the Holy One of God." And Peter might have been making a statement, but he was speaking for the disciples. He spoke for the people that he was walking with. You know, the Apostle Paul would later put it this way: "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." You know, walking in this life together is so very important, because life is hard. You know, this past week, we had two funerals in our church. There are people in this church that will gather together and provide a meal for those who just suffered an incredible loss. These are the people we get to walk with. You know, following this service, we have Sunday school classes. We have wonderful Sunday school teachers. A lot of you are involved in Sunday school classes. And if you're not involved in a Sunday school class, let me encourage you to do that. These are the wonderful people we get to walk with. We have a choir that helps us, lights up our worship service when we sing. We get to walk with them. We have a caring team that visits, a beloved believer group that gathers our senior adults for fellowship. We have leadership teams in our church that guide us. We have grief care that supports and loves. And the list just goes on and on and on of these people we get to walk with. Look to your left and to your right, because these are the people that you are choosing to walk with. Because it matters who you walk with. Now, I know it's a little bit of a different type of a sermon today, but I hope you hear the lesson that God was teaching me as I was journeying through the canyon. Following Jesus matters. Right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the path. We walk where he walk, we step where he steps. Jesus is life. And who you follow Jesus with matters. Because these are the folks that you get to have fun with. You get to celebrate life. get to have, you know, fun children's sermons, and you hear them tell secrets that parents are like, no, like, we get to have these kids here, and it's a blessing, and we get to do this together. These are also the people we get to cry with, that we hug and love, because life is hard. And so invest yourselves in Jesus, and invest yourselves with one another. Because it matters who you follow, and it matters who you walk with. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being the way and the truth and the life for us. Thank you, Lord, for Psalm 119, where you talk about being the light of our path, that Jesus, you are the one that illuminates every step of our journey, and that you call us to follow you. Jesus, help us to do that passionately, intentionally, deliberately. Jesus, thank you for the people we get to walk with. Thank you for the saints that have gone on before us, that have made Concord. Thank you for the saints that sit by us and study with us, and celebrate with us, and mourn with us. Thank you, Jesus. It is in your name we pray. Amen.